Wake up, everybody. It's You Get the Blessing. It's Bob Belt and Bo Mitchell.
Joe Walsh.
He's not in studio. This is just a recording.
You have to love Missionaries, whose favorite song is by Joe Walsh.
That is exactly our sweet spot and our kind of guy. It's not the Beatles, but it's good. It's a Christian show, everybody. We'll get to that later. This is just to wake you up. Pay attention.
It takes a long time for Joe to actually start singing, so
what?
Maybe we ought to introduce our guests.
Here we go. Is it still another 5-minute intro?
It's great stuff, though. Great guitar, so anyway.
Well, let me just tell you, our guest today is Rick Scott, and he picked this song.
He didn't actually want to talk on the show. He just wanted to listen to, you know, a little music here. So, yeah, hey, good to have you, Rick.
That's in honor of my older brothers who, for some reason, I always associate that song with them, memories from childhood. And you know, life really has been good.
Well, we're going to hear all about that today.
I got a new friend down at Coors Field, Greg Fiesel's assistant, Kim Olson, and I normally, when she answers, will sing to her. Today, I sing Johnny Angel. She's never heard of Shelley Fabre's Johnny Angel. She never heard any of my songs, but I like the fact we can reach back and get some real music like Joe. That's a good choice, Rick. Be proud of that, man.
All right.
How much older is your brother?
Larry's 8 years older than I am, and Bob's 10 years older. So,
see, I got some of that, and I was born in 49, so my mom loved music, so I got all the big band stuff from her by the time I was 5-6 years old. My older brother, 6 years older, I got all of the 50s stuff from him, like every day, and then I got my own stuff in the 60s, where Belts and I hooked up, landed on the Beatles, and have not left yet. Don't plan on leaving, yeah. Do we?
I really didn't get any of that growing up with wolves in a cave, but by the time I got out, the Beatles were there. So
this is the longest introduction ever, but this show is about blessing you listeners, so stay tuned. That's why we try to hook you with some strange music like that today, but we bless you by introducing you to people like our guest today, Rick Scott, who have incredible lives. They're impacting this community, this state, this world for the cause of Christ and the good that they're up to. So we like to just start, Rick, by saying thank you for being here and tell us a little bit about just your background as a kid, where you were born, and what your family life was like.
Yeah, I grew up in Pine Junction, Colorado, which is halfway between Bailey and Conifer, up 285, about an hour southwest of Denver or so. You know, I grew up with older brothers and an older sister. So in some ways I grew up in a family of four kids, but in other ways I grew up like an only child. And, you know, when I was a kid, I was really shy. I could take any game and figure out how to play it by myself. I'd put my Bronco helmet on and run around the yard and play football or whatever. I could really find ways just to play by myself. And I was really shy. I wasn't a kid that talked a lot in class and things like that. And so sometimes I look back at that in amazement and go, I have a job now where I speak for a living and meet people for a living. You know, anyway, that's kind of a long story, but there's something in that about something that God has done.
Are you introverted by nature or extroverted?
You know, I think introverted. There was a time in college when I always showed up as extroverted on the tests, but now I think I definitely recharge more if I have some alone time.
Because Bill McCartney, who's one of the great speakers I've ever heard, he's definitely introverted, and he just trained to be a head coach and a great speaker, and you ask him, what's your least favorite part about public speaking, he'll say, too many people. So I understand your story. Yeah. That's cool how God can do that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you're just totally at ease up there firing away and speaking.
And it was about that time that neighbors moved in next door, and Pat and Rick rolled out of the back of a old Ford pickup truck, and I had like instant friends my age, but their family attended church. And it was through their witness and them taking me to vacation Bible schools and Sunday school classes, things like that, that I trusted the Lord up at Black Canyon Community Church up in Bailey when I was a kid.
How old?
I was 6 or 7.
Now, my daughter received Christ when she was 4, and it was a real conversion. Do you believe that can happen, Bob?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I even believe that some people...
I wasn't doubting you, Rick.
No,
I watched it.
Yeah, but in Rick's case, I do doubt it. But no, just kidding.
So that young, as parents, we should even maybe be at least exposing our kids to the truth of the Scripture.
Yeah, I hear a lot of stories of people say, well, you know, when I was a kid, such and such, and then, you know, I got away from it for years and years and years, but I, you know, I came back around. And I always feel like God really honors that. And even when we stray, you know, he remembers what happened in our lives and will do everything he conceivably can to get us back to himself, even when we spend years away. So,
and I didn't really grow up being, like, I wasn't really growing in the Lord growing up. Something had changed in my heart, and I look back on that, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I became a believer at that young age. But if anybody looking in at my life, they wouldn't have seen any, like, external manifestations of that. I looked like any other kid. But there was something that had changed in my conscience. There was something, you know, I just always believed in Jesus. Mm. And about a senior in high school, when a friend invited me to a youth group, that things really kicked in and I started growing.
So another thing, they say those youth groups are so important because I think it's something like 4% of people past the age of 20 can actually come to a real conversion experience with Christ. So again, we're going back to this theme of that's why we support Young Life and other campus ministries that are saying, hey, while this brain's being shaped here, let's expose you to this and see what God will do with it then.
You know, the good news is that those statistics are probably wrong because two of us in the room today came to Christ as adults. So if you're out there and thinking, oh, I guess I missed it, you know, it's an important time, though. And we do, you know, I appreciate guys that are pouring their life into kids and college students. And so when did you meet Paula? I want to hear this story.
Okay. So after high school, I started out at the Colorado School of Mines. That little, it's M-I-N-E-S. It's not mimes. It's not mines with a D.
We and, knew that.
Just because I was good at math and science, but I had absolutely no interest in math or science. And so that's where I went because I didn't know what to do with my life and thought I could have a successful career going there. And really what happened there was God used that as a place where he really got a hold of my life and got a hold of my heart. Finally came to my senses and transferred to Boulder.
Atta baby.
Yeah. Went from civil engineering to English pretty much on a whim. I had lunch with a friend one day. And she was just relieved. I'm like, hey, Jen, what's up? And she said, oh, I just got accepted to CU. I'm leaving Mines. And she was going to go major in biology, which if you're from Mines, that's a soft science. Huh. It's not a real hard science like the, you know, those engineering guys. And it just was like, it just was like this freedom. And I was like, I think I'll go with you and major in English. And that's actually how I got my degree in English. I had to go to a couple classes, but...
Bo went from an English major to a basketball major and didn't have to go to as many classes then. So
I don't know why I take such pride in this, but honestly, I am so sub-average in terms of intelligence that when I got to see you and ask, you know, what grade point do we have to make to stay eligible? They said a 2.0. And you can go look it up, my transcript. I graduated, I think, with a 2.00001.
Hey, it works.
Yeah, I nailed exactly what I was shooting for. Think about a shot for a 4-point.
Yeah.
I'll tell them what I'd be doing now.
That's right.
But what years were you in Boulder?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I transferred up there in 1990, and then I was
So I just missed you.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was
out there 20 years.
So I was there during the good football years. So, you know, I had the student season tickets to all the Buffs games, and that was a lot of fun.
I was there with Glenn Miller. Beautiful time.
I've been in the ballroom.
Really? Yeah, it's a history lesson. I have had kids up there now. I'll say, yeah, I was here in the 60s, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're studying that in history. Like, great.
Yeah, we're having I heard now they're having 90s dances, which really makes you
Ooh, that makes you crazy.
So, you had asked how I met Paula.
Yeah.
And when I went to the School of Mines, I was involved with in a church in Golden. And then she came to the Colorado Christian University. After I had transferred to CU, she started going to that same church, and so we had a lot of mutual friends. In fact, she was dating one of my friends at the time, And another one of my friends was really interested in Paula's roommate. And my father had passed away, and I had dropped all my classes at CU and was just kind of fumbling through life. And Steve was always looking for a, you know, a wingman, I guess would be the word, someone to go along with him so he could hang out with Tammy. And so I always had time on my hands, and he felt more comfortable if he went and brought someone along. So I was the tag-along guy. And, you know, and Paula was dating my friend Vic, and that didn't last very long. It was never very serious. And about 6 months later, we just kind of went, you know, this is pretty interesting here. So we actually met in her apartment. And, it took a few months, and then we just took off after that. Then we introduced Vic. Paula had another roommate who wanted to learn how to country dance. And so we introduced her to Vic, and now they're married, and we're really good friends with them.
I had a little of that. Tim Evans, the pair body, I called him, introduced me to my wife, and I'm like, first time I saw her, I said, and this is a friend of yours, and you don't date. And he's like, no, why? You think she's pretty? And I said, Tim, too late. You're out. I'm in. So let's see. 3 weeks later, we got engaged. We've been married 40 years. So I like that story. Yeah, it's how God does stuff, I think, occasionally.
Yeah.
So what was kind of the journey from – so how long – let me see. How many years have you been married now?
We have been married for – we're coming up on 19.
Okay. Great.
Next time someone asks that, you better know that answer.
That's
quicker.
Right.
You
exactly.
were a little slow on that. Paula's going to listen to this and say, come on.
Well, we just changed a calendar year a month ago.
Good cover.
Yeah. Well, so, tell us a little bit about the journey then into how did you end up in full-time ministry stuff?
Well, when we first got married, we would dream about what we want to do with our lives. And we really enjoyed like bed and breakfasts. And here we were, you know, in our early 20s thinking, wouldn't it be fun to own a bed and breakfast someday? And as we just dreamed about that, and we'd, you know, spend our vacations and go to a bed and breakfast or something like that, and we'd think, what if it was like a ministry? And that dream kind of morphed into even like a ministry for people in full-time ministry, is a place where they can go to a retreat center and maybe, you know, kind of refresh and stuff like that. Well, I was wise enough to know that what pastor on his third church split is going to go to some 23-year-old to, you know, be nurtured back in the Lord. So we knew we had to get older, we had to get more experience. And that led to me getting a degree in biblical counseling from CCU. And I was telling that story about this dream of owning a bed and breakfast someday in a career counseling class. The professor had brought me in front of the class and was just asking about what are you passionate about, what have you done, and looking for little clues. I told that story, and after the class, a gal came up to me, and she worked for Cadence International. Or did at the time, and she worked here at the headquarters in Inglewood, and she said, you know that idea you have about the bed and breakfast? I go, yeah. She goes, you should look into Cadence, because everything you want to do, but we do it better than your idea. You know, she kind of had this backhanded compliment, but she was right. Hmm. And so we were interested in this ministry because it's built on hospitality, and it's hospitality for the sake of American servicemen and servicewomen stationed around the world. But it's using our home in a way that we can develop community, teach the word, counsel, disciple, go on trips, and but it's all a ministry out of our home. So, that's kind of how we got there. Was God kind of gave us this vision that was way up. We'd never want to own a bed and breakfast now. That's, you know, we understand now how much work that would be, and you'd never really get to the ministry parts of it.
So do you actually go on to bases, or do you locate near bases? What's the strategy that they use, and then what's the inroad into the actual military community?
Yeah, we'll get a house close to a military base, hopefully within just a couple miles, so it's an easy commute. But the military people, when they're stationed overseas, they don't all live on post or on base anyway. They live all throughout the foreign community. And so we'll just be probably even have American military as neighbors when we get to Italy. And we want to get a house that's conducive to hospitality. It's got to have a big enough living room to have a group of 40 or 50 folks over. And then it needs to have some private space for our family so that we don't go crazy living in the ministry center. And then close proximity. Those are kind of our wish list of what we're looking for when we get over there. Our inroad into the community is we, as a mission, have chosen to work alongside and in support of the chapel ministries. Now, chaplains can come from any denomination, and we can work with a wide variety. We still have our doctrinal statement that we're true to. But that gives us a place to serve within the community. And the chaplain, I know some really godly chaplains, and every one of them I know is worked to the bone. They are so overworked and so understaffed that our experience has been, our kind of ministry is super welcomed where we're going. So we can lend a hand there, but then really what we do is work to develop a community that's conducive to spiritual growth.
And tell the audience again specifically where you're going and what base is it that you're close to?
Yeah, there's an Air Force base. It's a fighter base in northern Italy called Aviano Air Base. It's close to Slovenia. It's close to Austria. And it's the only fighter wing that our military has south of the Alps. And so it's a crazy pace place. This morning I was talking to a chaplain who's there. And he said the same thing now that I got to witness a couple of years ago when I was there, and that the people there are just incredibly stressed. Not only are they living overseas, but the work pace at this particular location is nothing like I've seen in other military installations I've been in and around. These guys, their marriages are stretched thin. They're run ragged, and there's not a lot of Christian services to take care of the airmen. There's some, but they definitely can use more workers.
Does any part of it make you nervous, or are you just excited and fired up to get there?
Oh, wow. What makes me nervous? I guess the people.
Too many people.
Yeah, that's the problem with ministry, isn't it? It's just all the people. Yeah. So now our best friends are people that we've done this ministry with in the past. We were at an army base in Germany before, and we have friends stationed literally around the world right now, some in Iraq, some in Afghanistan. West Point, New York. We know three people that were in our ministry in Schweinfurt, Germany. They were young lieutenants that are now professors at West Point.
Hmm.
We got to visit with them last fall and see them in their element. And it's on one hand, you shake your head going, how can this be? But on the other hand, it's really cool to see the kind of influence these guys are going to have and already have in the lives of the young cadets, which is a whole nother amazing thing, walking around West Point, seeing these guys that know what kind of world they volunteered to serve the military in. And they know their lives are going to be put on the line, and they're young. I was blown away. Okay, I'm off track a little bit here.
No, you're good. No, you're right on track. Yeah.
Very good. So isn't it interesting that we serve a God of the miraculous, as I like to say, but also a God of order and logic? So here this young 20-year-old Rick and Paula have this idea of, wouldn't a bed and breakfast be good? And then that becomes small compared to how God's using the hospitality piece of that to use their lives and impact all these families. Is there anything strange or wrong, Bob, with thinking, I like serving a God that is a God of all those things, miraculous, order, and logic?
Well, let's hope not, because that's how he is. So hope there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at even the stuff.
Well, and the other thing, and this, I think sometimes it's very mysterious how some of these things happen. But it does say Scripture says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Now, I don't think that means, if I have my quiet time daily, I'm going to get a Ferrari. But what I do think it means is that as we delight ourselves in the Lord, I think he really transforms our desires. And I think he begins to create within us oftentimes a desire to do the very thing that he's created us to do.
Yeah.
And then as we continue to, stay in relationship with him, he actually gives us it's cool. I mean, he's placed the desire in our heart, and then he opens the door for us to walk into that fulfills that desire. So, and I think generally speaking, apart from a relationship with Jesus, frankly, most of us don't really know what the desire of our heart is. I think we know, and which could be fame, fortune, whatever we're being told, but God has really created us for something very specific and purposeful that we can't even have a clue about until we begin to know him.
Yeah, my wife said one time that this ministry is what we were made to do. And we've been working at headquarters the last 5 or 6 years, so we haven't been in a hospitality house, and it's hard. You know, we hit our stride when we're working together doing this particular ministry.
Mm. Now, a couple of things that that strike me that I want to make sure that our the gang that's listening this morning know, and we'll get into this a little bit. One thing that strikes me is that you know, we are in a period of time where I think people appreciate the military in our country much more than they did, say, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing because people have a heart for our soldiers. It, you know, I watch in airports, you know, people will go up and, you know, thank soldiers for what they're doing, buy them lunch, things like that. So it's a good time. You are providing an incredible blessing and benefit to them. So the ministry is really a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But I know that you've got to raise your own support to be able to do that. So in a sense, when people support you, they're not only supporting specifically you and Paula and what you're doing, but they're, in a sense, they're really doing something that benefits these young men and women in the military. So how does that work, and how can people that would like to be partners with you? Because I'm sure there's people listening out there today that are saying, wow, what a neat deal. I'd like to be involved in that.
And you don't have to go to Italy. You can stay right at home where you are, folks, and help send them by writing a check. So let's get to that. Good point, Bob.
Yeah, probably the easiest thing to do would be to go to our website, which is cadence.org.
So cadence, C-A-D-E-N-C-E, cadence.org.
Then if you do the slash and Scott, which is my last name, S-C-O-T-T, then there'll be, it's just a short page, has a picture of us on there, but then there's a link on there that they can click to donate, credit cards, EFTs, or the address to send in a check. All the instructions would be right there. That's probably the easiest thing to do.
So after you get to cadence.org, there's a slash and then
Scott, S-C-O-T-T, cadence.org/Scott.
I meant to refresh everybody's memories. This is You Get the Blessing, and that's Rick Scott, our guest. So.
Yeah, with Cadence International.
Cadence International.
Organization. Yeah.
And by the way, Highline Community Church, our church, is we actually are blessed to be able to support Rick and Paula, and they're one of our kind of target ministries that we're trying to help and get to be a part of this. And again, I always feel like we're really a part of what you're doing when we get behind it.
If you had a bigger building, you could accommodate more people. If you had more people, you could actually support more missionaries like this around the world and do more. That's
and
my theory.
These guys, that's a good point. We have to find a new building. You guys are ready to go if you had the support in place.
We still need to raise about $300 of monthly support. You know, people that give $50, $100 a month or $300 a month to make it quick and dirty. And we have to raise about $25,000 of startup costs. We're starting a brand new ministry, a new hospitality house. I got an email from a lady last week. This is quick. And never met her before, but her son had been stationed in Avellano several years ago. And ever since he was there, I don't know how she knew about Cadence, but they wished there was a hospitality house there. And she and her husband have been praying for this ministry to go there longer than we've been assigned to Avellano. And so we just see God's hand in it, and there's little encouragements all along the way.
Okay, let's say that again then, that you can go to Cadence, cadence.org, and then put a slash in and Scott.
Yes.
And be a part of what these guys are doing, Bo.
Or get in touch with us, and we'll give you the information.
Yeah. Or if you know people stationed around the world in the military, you can also go on there and just see where our ministries are located and learn more about Cadence.
Or come by Highline and say, what was that deal about those guys? Because I'd like to do that, and we'll welcome you.
And we've had people listening to the show that show up and say, I want to meet you guys. You're a little squirrely, but I like your style.
Yeah, the little was never in there, by the way. That was more
it
like
was
you guys
for you
are squirrely.
So, yeah, no, thank you. Because I like this. I like the business ministry mix. The stronger the business side of ministry is, the longer and more comfortable the ministry side is going to be. So you guys are trained to do something, and now those of us that are in the business community, we need to just step up and support. We've had one person on this show. This is the best story I've heard. Hear a story just like this, complete stranger, and send unsolicited a check for $10,000 to say, I want to help. So you may not have 10,000 folks listening, but you may have 1,000 Maybe you do have 10, but just give whatever you can give. That's all we're saying. And do your part to not only support Rick and Paula, but the military mm-hmm. and the pressure these folks are under.
Yeah.
So we wish you the best over there. Give a few things Bob can pray for.
Yeah, two things. One is are those financial funds to come in. We're hoping to be in Aviano by Easter is what we're praying. And so we have to wrap up that financial package. You know, a year ago we still needed $3,000 a month. So we've really come a long way, and we're actually very encouraged. But then the other thing is we need an official invitation from the Air Force in Aviano. And they've got to figure out some paperwork. They tell us all the time, we want you here, we want you here, we want you here. But for them to actually formally invite us to come – will make a lot of other things easier and will pave the way for us to go. So just pray that that happens.
Good. Formal invitation, the remaining funds we need. So, Lord, we do ask for those things, and thank you for this program and this great couple. Rick, we wish you blessings. You're a great guest.
And thanks for picking Joe Walsh, one of my personal favorites.
We'll see you folks right here next week on You Get the Blessing.
Walls. I have accountants pay for it all.